All right, well, welcome back to the podcast. Today I have with me Manav. Manav, thanks for joining me today, Manav.
Thanks for having me, Victor.
Of course. We are 4 days into the new school year, and must be pretty weird for you. Like, I feel like you missed a good portion of, you know, that in-person, like, junior year, I feel like, is one of the best, like, social years. You're not super old to where your time is up, but you're also not super young, and you're figuring out your way around. So I was just curious, like, how does it feel to be back after so long of being virtual?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, man. I feel like we still have that, like, junior year energy, but the senior year time, which in a way is a good thing, right? Like, mm-hmm. we're able to go have fun, have a party, but we also have so much more time and less stress going on, and so I'm kind of enjoying that aspect. You know, the classes are rough junior year. They're not fun. No. So being at home and just having all that extra time, which you typically wouldn't have, like walking to class and mm-hmm. the energy use, all of that.
Yeah.
It was all conserved. And so I put it towards studying and it worked out in my favor and was really fortunate for that. But now I have all this like pent up energy, which is now used to just having fun and making sure that this senior year is as memorable as can be.
Yeah. No, I feel the same way, although it's just different for me since all my friends are gone, yeah. or at least the people I came into college with. I'm still trying to figure out how to best spend my energy, I guess. I feel during the school day, I'm, like, fine, but when I come home, I'm just exhausted. Like, literally before you came, I took a 20-minute nap.
I did, too. I took a nap right before I came here.
I was so tired. I was like, I cannot have a proper conversation. I left home around 8, got back around 4.
Okay.
It's like a full-time job almost.
It is. Yeah, I woke up and I was like, I know I have to be somewhere, but I totally forgot what time of the day we were in.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure if it was class or a meeting.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, oh, I got to go to Victor's.
Yeah. real quick, I had no idea you went to Seven Lakes. I'm not going to lie. Wow. Like, wait, but like, first of all, I mean, I guess, when could our paths have even crossed? Because you weren't in orchestra, right?
No.
Yeah, so I didn't ever see you in, like, the fine arts. You probably were in the hallway a few times, but...
No, I don't think you weren't. So. No, never went over there. You know, I do have one memory of you, and it was... You were probably in eighth grade. You were running track, and I ran track. And I just remember, like, it was all these, like, big athlete dudes, and then you were on the line, and you sprinted. It was, like, a 400, and you just sprinted... And everyone was saying, this guy's going to die. Like, this guy, there's no way he finishes this lap. And you kept going. You came through and, like, you slowed down a little bit, but you were way ahead of everyone. That's the only time I remember this, like, just Asian dude. Because you didn't see it. I mean, like,
yeah.
There wasn't that many fast Asian people. And you just see Victor out the gate, sprinting around the track.
Bro, that was the first and only time I ever did the 400. Because my coach wanted me to do track, and he said... What do I have to do to make you run track or compete for a program? And I said, I mean, I don't really want to go to practice, so as long as I can choose when I go to go to, like, when I go to practice, then I will be part of the team. And he's like, okay. At that point, I didn't even have track spikes. I wore my soccer cleats because I thought when people said cleats, I imagined it was just soccer cleats.
No.
I didn't know they were, like, with the metal spikes. Yeah. And it wasn't until, like, the district's race where somebody was like, oh, you've been running with cleats the whole time? Because I heard the crunch on the ground, on the concrete. And he had the same shoe size as me, so I just wore his cleats. And I sprinted well, but for 400, I can't do that. I think after that, my coach was like, yeah, we're going to put you 200 max. So I just competed in the 100, 200, but that was fun.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I don't think I ever saw you after that again, because you were really involved in band, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wasn't anywhere near the music stuff.
Did you do track in high school?
I did, yeah. It was...
Cross country?
Yeah, both of them. They were fun the first 2 years, and then junior year, like, school, I was definitely a school first kind of guy,
mm-hmm.
and I, like, would not run over the summer, and everyone would train over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd fall behind, and I first 2 years, I always caught up. That year, like, I just didn't catch up, and, like, people that I was used to running with, I was no longer running with in practice, and it was just, like, demoralizing to kind of see, like, all my friends, some of them that I was faster than the year before, like we have a race at the end of every semester, and mm-hmm. used to crush it then, and then come back, and the first day we have like a time trial, like I'm kicked. And so I think I quit like senior year mm-hmm. and started lifting more.
Yeah.
But it was fun, you know, it was mentally tough. It was draining, but lifelong friends. We have like our fantasy draft tonight.
Oh, that's so nice.
We still keep in touch. It's fun to have.
That's good. Yeah. I always pictured track as like a very individual thing, and it is. But it's cool you're able to have like teammates and people like you can still hang out with. I never did track in high school, so I don't really know what the culture was like, but I imagined it was pretty fun. I just, personally for me, like with sprinting, everyone just hit their growth spurt in high school and their strides just got longer. I stayed the same height and I never practiced, so I couldn't just rely on my talent anymore. So I was like, you know what? We're just going to call it quits.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. Like, some people came in with zero talent mm-hmm. and then they left. Like, just the work ethic you require, mm-hmm. it's crazy. Like, you can get fast. Mm-hmm. It's not you. I mean, you need good talent, but
yeah.
most people can do it. And so you'd be surprised on, like, some people's progressions from freshman year to senior year. But mm-hmm. Overall, yeah, I'd say, like, it is as much as an individual sport. Mm-hmm. You know, people are there to help you, and there's no way you just do it by yourself. Like, mm-hmm. running is kind of fun at most. And so there's no way you're doing it, like, unless you're having fun with the people around you.
Yeah. Do you still run?
Kind of, like, here and there in, like, spurts. And so, like, I was training for, a half Ironman. And so I started picking up running again. But I found that running is probably the easiest part of it for me. Like, swimming and biking are significantly more harder.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been doing that a little bit more, but ever since we got back here, it's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, walking to class is exhausting at this point.
With the heat, too.
Yeah, the heat is crazy.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. Also, last thing on running, but are you a talker when you run, or do you need it to be silent? Or, like, you can't really talk between? Yeah,
I don't think I can talk. Like, one time I've tried talking, but usually, like, the pace I keep at, for me at the time, is usually, like, I always expect my body to go faster, like I was in high school. Like, mm-hmm. 6-minute pace was, like, something that I could easily handle in high school. And I just expect myself to run 6 minutes, even though I don't run at all anymore. And so I don't think I'm ever able to talk. I would like to talk. It'd probably make it more fun, but mm-hmm. I don't think I can.
Yeah. I just asked that because, like, my freshman year of college, when I was living on campus, I had a friend who I would run with just like after class, and we just jog around campus, jog around the outskirts of campus. And at first I didn't really enjoy running with her, and I realized it was because she just kept talking. But I was like, you know what, like, I need to start talking, because I'd always carry my headphones.
Yeah.
And I'd be annoyed because I'd see her mouth moving and I'm like, oh, what did you say?
Yeah.
And over time I was able to start talking, and I realized it was a little better because it helped the time pass by. But I think that's a gift to be able to do that.
Yeah, no, it's tough. I mean, unless you're, like, kind of walking at the same time, like, a slow pace, but it's hard to talk and run.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, you leave Seven Lakes, you come to A&M, you choose to study mechanical engineering. What was the decision behind that?
Well, it wasn't as much as, like, I probably would have studied business had I had no like influence from my parents.
Mm-hmm.
My parents wanted me to get more of a technical degree. And so they were like, you know, you can always go back and study business, but you can't go back and study engineering.
Yeah.
And I did good. Like, I performed pretty well in math and science in high school. And so I wasn't going to do biology. I didn't want to become a doctor. And those were the only career paths I knew. And so it was engineering. And then it was like, okay, well, what type of engineering? And I said, I don't really know. I mean, I don't want to get stuck to oil and gas, so there goes petroleum.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to work in, like, a refinery or a plant, mm-hmm. and so there goes chemical. And then there was, you know, electrical and mechanical, and so electrical seemed like it was a little bit, like, nitty-gritty, you know, mm-hmm. wires and stuff, and I was like, well, there goes that. So now we're left with mechanical, and that's the most broad and just pushes back the time of, oh, I'll figure out what I want to do later. Mm-hmm. So that's what I pretty much did, and that was the thought process for mechanical.
Yeah. I think it's funny I've asked that question. I've had a good amount of mechanical engineering friends, or I guess now some of them are actually mechanical engineers in the field,
yeah,
on this, and that is a very common answer of not funneling yourself too early.
Yeah.
Like, if you know you're passionate about planes and you want to do aerospace, that's awesome, because you can just dive into that interest very early on. But I realized, especially reflecting now, the classes we take, they're kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, you have your design class you take sophomore year that, you know, maybe your senior design project, you might have to have some design, but other than that, you know, you don't really use it again. Or your statistics classes, your thermodynamics, fluids, all that. Some of these classes you might not even use, depending on what industry you go into. But I think mechanical engineering is a very, like, I wouldn't say it's a safe, I mean, it is a safe option, but I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I think that, like, for me, I didn't know what I wanted to do either. And I just chose mechanical engineering because I knew it was, like, a secure job. And, you know, that I guess that's a good decision to make. But it was also, like you said, partially on my parents influencing me to, like, choose a stable career path. I didn't know much about business either, but they kind of strongly pushed me to engineering.
Right. And, I mean, if you look at it, go to a career fair, you know how they have, like, those tags of majors they're hiring? Like, 90% of the companies will have mechanical on there. Yeah. And so, like, you can go see that all these companies are hiring mechanical, but not all of them are hiring, like, electrical or chemical,
yeah,
or something like that. And so it makes your decision a little bit easier. Just kind of like, I'll think about it later. Like, let me get some time.
Yeah.
And so,
when do you think it was when you started to, like, narrow down what you wanted to do? Like, was it after your first internship, after a few classes you took, or you're talking to older people? Like, when did you start narrowing it down and actually thinking about it?
Yeah, I think I started, like, trying to do that right away. I didn't come to the right answer. I still don't know if I have, but I think when I joined SEC, I saw that the people that were considered, like, the top, right, the highest achieving, you know, performing well academically, they were all going to Exxon. And so I saw that little trend, and I realized, okay, you know, Exxon Mobil's the goal. And I always was like, I told my dad, and he's like, well, yeah, Exxon's a good company. It's cutthroat, but, you know, it's a great place to be. And so I guess going into recruiting sophomore year, I knew I wanted to be at Exxon. And I did a technical internship after freshman year. It was like an engineering design review. Did not like it that much, but I just wanted to do what the other people were doing, and I thought, you know, it'll probably be better once I go there. Like,
yeah.
Design review, okay, that's kind of boring. Maybe I'll do something else. I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
I think that's a better way to say it. And so, went through recruiting sophomore year for all the big oil companies, and they didn't work out at first. And so, I'm kind of glad it didn't. I probably would have tanked my GPA knowing that I had, like, a secure job offer from one of these.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I guess that pushed me to keep trying. I think it definitely was, like, an ego check,
because
I thought, you know,
how can they not take me?
Right. Right. And so, like, I was like, there's no other candidate that you can find, at least in the sophomore class, that was, like, crafted my resume towards oil and gas.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was good. And I actually tried in school and, like, realized that mechanical engineering difficulty was, in a way, overhyped. But in a way, it was. It is difficult. You know, like, the classes are tough, but it's not saying, like, there's always a way to get a good grade in the class, and it's how you manage it, and the effort you put in. And some of it is luck, like your professor, like your TA or something.
Or your,
like,
team.
Your team, your grader, stuff like that. But, you know, it said, like, I could get A's in these classes, which I never thought I could do. And so I guess it just kind of pushed me towards that. And I think it was, like, that's when in SEC the new trend came in of consulting, and it was very, very fast. Right?
Yeah,
like, it went quickly from oil and gas, like big Exxon, Chevron, BP, went to consulting, like, very quickly, and that's in part due to, like, the 2 years before all these consulting firms came and picked up a bunch of people, and then they in turn came back and recruited us, right? Mm-hmm. And so now you notice that all the top talent was going towards these consulting firms.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, let's figure out what consulting is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, went back, talked to the people, like Sherat, Kirsten, James, and all that, and found out what consulting was and kind of dove in from there. And so that's where I am now. Mm-hmm. Went through the recruiting process twice and was successful the second time with Big Three. And
mm-hmm.
That's, I guess, what the future is for me.
There you go. That's awesome. I think it's funny you pointed out that trend because, like, now that I think of it, because, like, my first exposure to SEC or Student Engineers Council was spring 2018, so my freshman year spring.
Right.
And I remember the president that year, as well as some of the EB there. I was looking them up on LinkedIn, and I'd see, like, Valero, Phillips 66, and obviously, I got in the next semester and everyone just seemed to be going to Exxon.
Right.
And I was like, all the people who are going are very, very smart and bright. And I want to be like that.
Right.
And I think what's funny is, and this is kind of dumb now that I say it. I chose not to apply to Exxon because the line was too long. Like, I didn't even apply for a job because I figured, oh, my best chance is getting, having that FaceTime with the recruiter, whoever's there. And then afterwards or before, I'd apply, make sure they remembered my face. And then if I can't talk to them face to face, my resume is just going to be lost in that black hole.
Right.
So I like you too, it kind of worked out for me. I was able to work for like an oil services company, and then I was able to do like a tech internship, and then, finally like something in power quality, electrical manufacturing. So I've been able to like see a lot of different areas, I guess, of what mechanical engineers can do. And it's nice because I feel like I haven't put all my eggs, I guess, in one basket. Like, I haven't just committed myself to a life of just oil and gas. And you can definitely do like career pivots too. But I'm somebody who like, I literally had zero clue of what I wanted to do, even after like junior year, going into senior year. And so having the ability to go into different industries and see what I like or see what they did, I think is really beneficial. And I think, like, correct me if I'm wrong too, I feel like that's what consultants are able to do too, right? Like, you're able to not jump around from company to company, but work on a lot of different things with a lot of different companies in any industry.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And so I guess you could say I kind of pushed back even more the decision of what field I want to work in, right? I keep pushing it back, yeah. But that's true, right? I could go in day one and be like, I want to work in oil and gas and find oil and gas partners and just work on oil and gas projects. Or some people really take that time to become a generalist. And so I've been talking to people and I asked them, like, what's your advice before I come in day one? And they said, know what you want to do. But, you can be wrong about it, but just have an idea. And so that's something I've been thinking about, where it's like, what are some things I haven't had exposure to? And so mine's like consumer packaging. And so just like retail, stuff like that, where I just want to see what it's about, what kind of projects there are. And, hopefully a year or two in, I find my spot within the company and the practice I like the most and kind of shift from there.
Okay. I mean, other than, seeing other people like apply and get into like top firms, like, what else about consulting was attractive to you, or what did you like that made you like actually commit to finding a job in the consulting industry?
Yeah, and so I think it was the fact that I did not want to do engineering. Mm-hmm. Like a technical role was huge, where I kind of shut down the fact that I'd find a role that I'd really enjoy and be excited about. And just the company presentations on, it was an exciting work style, work life. That's all exciting. But when you sit down and do like the cases is really like fun and interesting for me. And so in reality, like, casing is the job. And so it's just more of that on an in-depth level.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that if I'm enjoying doing these cases where, yes, I'm prepping for an interview, but at the same time, like, I just love having these business discussions and stuff. And so, actually, there was this one time that our Horizons team, Horizons is like that consulting org. We went for Pizookies once, and we had this conversation on Fetty and their business model. We're just going there for fun, and Fetty comes up, and we start talking about their business model, and I called my friend after, and I was like, that was, you know, such an enjoyable hour. Like, I've never had that where I went out with like 10 people and we talked about, you know, an interesting topic. And it wasn't forced. It wasn't like we were overanalyzing, but everyone's coming in with these different ideas and different thoughts that, you know, you don't get that when you sit down in a room full of engineers, right? And it's so, I found like the people I enjoyed the most, like the work was very interesting. You're solving these huge complex problems that, I mean, like you get to see them firsthand, right? You're interacting with high level people, and I feel like I'm really motivated by the people I surround myself with. And, you know, at consulting firms, everyone's really at the top of their class. And so I felt like if I put myself in that position, I would strive to kind of gain those qualities from everyone around me.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, you're absolutely right about the discussion between engineers and, I mean, business discussions are definitely not the first thing that come up. I forgot where I was, but I know I was in a room full of engineers, and I think somebody was talking about, like, why the room was so cold or whatever, and, like, we had, I don't know, and people just keep diving into all this technical stuff about airflow and the room dimensions and all that, and that stuff is very interesting, don't get me wrong. I think it's super cool being able to, like, explain something using, like, math and science concepts, but at the end of the day, you kind of have to tie it all back to, like, I guess business. Business is, like, because it's how you make money or how you lose money or whatever. That's always something to keep in the back of your mind. And it wasn't until this summer for me, like, in my internship, where I actually was very curious about not just what I was doing, like, how like, helping out, you know, an improvement on the line, but how does this improvement affect the business as a whole? Or, if, you know, if this part fails, how much does that cost the business? Like, I wanted to see how all the higher-ups performed in their role and how they would solve these problems. So, you know, consulting might be something I look at in the future. I don't know, but it's cool you're able to go into that, like, right after you graduate.
Yeah. No, I think it's definitely, like, an opportunity for everyone, and it's becoming advertised like that more and more, whereas, like, used to be kind of more business-focused, but I mean, they take any major, and it's more of the way you think, which I feel like is, you know, either you have it or you don't, and you can develop it to a certain extent, but, like, having a business mindset is definitely, like, the key to the job, right? And
yeah.
I think that goes back to, like, SEC, where we're those engineers that are able to communicate, and we also have that drive for, like, success. And, you know, you find that one common thing is that we all have this, like, technical intelligence, but not everyone has this, like, business acumen, and so then people start striving to get that business acumen, which that just puts you at a different level, right? I mean, you work with people in these random groups all the time where they're just difficult to work with in a way, because they're not exposed to these different things.
Yeah.
They're, like, forced in these group projects, like, once a semester, and that's all they do. But when you work with someone in one of these orgs, you can tell, right? It's fun working with them, and they're able to kind of give that input and different insights that always kind of challenge you.
Yeah. Do you have somebody that you've worked with in maybe SEC or another org that you've just really enjoyed working with them? And if so, like, what about them made it fun to work with them?
Like, you're talking about in a specific class working in
a it could be a class or, like, a leadership role.
Yeah. I'd say, so Megan and I took most of our classes together, and she's a pretty good partner to have. I think she gets, like, the fact that there's, like, a technical analysis, and there's a business pack, but she also has, like, high empathy skills, and I think that always plays into the role of, like, when you're in a team, you need that person that has, you know, very strong emotional intelligence, which helps out in the long term. And then my other friend, Adam, he's very technical. He loves doing the analysis, and so it's always good to have him. And then, you know, I usually do, like, the presentation, the communication, kind of put together both sides. And so you have, like, these different roles. I feel like our team more or less has been the same. We have like different people, Tyler, Will, yeah. They're always in our team somehow, and those are just good additions. Like, you just have these hard workers. I think everyone comes in a little bit more flexible on what they have to do, but it's good to have these different like key strengths. And we're actually in the same senior design
team. I was going
to
say, who? You, Megan, and Adam?
Yeah, and then we have another friend of ours, Cheyenne, mm-hmm. and she's in ZLP with us. And so I definitely see, like, this, like, we had our first team meeting today. And yeah. I definitely, like, see, like, very strong potential in our project. Or, like, just, I'm looking forward to working together. Because it is a fear, right, when you're going on a year-long commitment with these people. Mm-hmm. So having a good team is definitely, like, a key aspect to being successful in your project. And I feel like after meeting one, it was only like 10 or 15 minutes, but you know, you see the potential. And so I'm excited for that.
I like that. I want to ask you about your project really soon, but I wanted to first also say I had my first meeting today too with my group, and I have Ellie Pascaretz in my group. I don't know if you know a guy named Joseph Lara by any chance, but he's another fifth year with us. And then we have three other people that are, I guess, your year.
Yeah.
And one guy is named Grant Roche, I think, something like that. And then the other two, we just met them today. But it was really cool because, you know, one of the things we had to talk about was, like, our strengths, like, what we bring to the table and what's something that we have that could help the group. And, I mean, I think it helps. We're all very, like, social. No one in that group is really introverted, which not being introverted, I mean, being introverted is not bad, but we're all just very, like, hyper and willing to talk. So it was really cool just being able to, like, sit back. For me, like, I'm very fine being, like, that loud person in the room. But if need be, and especially whenever I'm in a group setting too, I don't like being the one that always is talking over people. I'd rather just sit back. I try to, like, observe what people are saying. If someone says, like, two words and they get cut off by somebody else, like, I'll listen to the person who's talking. But in the back of my head, I'm like, okay, this other person has a pressing issue, so before we move on with this, like, let's address this person. And, like, I like to think I'm pretty good with reading people's, like, body language and, like, emotionally, like, how they're doing. But kind of like you, I saw, like, big potential in our group too, because everyone just seemed to be able to, like, work well with each other, wanting to be organized. I don't know, it seemed like a good group. So, I mean, it's good that you feel that way with your group, because it is scary, you know, you put your preferences of who you want to work with, but you don't know if you're going to get them. I remember we were waiting for them to reveal the list, and I'm sitting here with the three other people that I prepped, and we're all just super nervous, and then we see our names together, and we're like, oh, okay, let's just hope these last two people are fine, but we're good. We're good to go, because it doesn't matter how cool your project is, if your team doesn't function well together, I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised that they didn't take into account, like, some sort of test. You know, like, we do those
personality tests,
which I think, like, for us, it worked out that way. Like, me, Megan, Adam, and Cheyenne have worked together before, and it's worked. And so it's, like, we knew that the four of us together itself, that would be, you know, a pretty good team. And then the two people we got on top of that were just, like, a cherry on top, right? Like, they're very focused, very driven as well. And so I feel like they could help out other teams. But at the same time, like, I feel like A&M, in a way, does prepare you for these projects, like, decently well if you engage and kind of follow the plan of doing an internship, joining a couple good organizations to help you personally grow. There's no doubt that, you know, come senior design, you're competent and you're have that extra skill, whether it's, you know, emotional intelligence or analysis design, any of those that you can kind of put together and make a team.
I mean, if you put this group in sophomore year together, it'd be very hard to get anyone to say a word. Everyone's still nervous and not wanting to commit, but, like, I think at this age we've all been either involved enough, worked enough, or just, I guess, lived life long enough to know, like, we need to solve this problem, and we can't do it if no one's going to talk. Right. At the very least, we got to get a conversation going and, like, establish some sort of rapport. And I think it was nice too. I don't know if you guys had this slide, but at the end of it, it said one of your tasks for next week is to hang out with your group and get to know them. or like grab food, do an activity, like 30 minutes and take a picture and send it to like show proof. Yeah. Oh, you guys didn't have that?
We didn't have it.
That might be like a TA specific thing, but that's cool.
Yeah.
What was your what's your project about?
We have to design some sort of solar PV system.
What's PV?
Like photovoltaic, something like that.
Okay.
And so it's part of like some smart home design lab that's ongoing. Like it's A&M research.
Okay.
And so it's A&M sponsored and everything. But I actually took like the solar engineering class last semester.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of thought that those skills would transfer for this semester. You know, we just knew how the software worked.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of background, had some knowledge and information. And so it seemed like an easier choice compared to the other projects we had. And
yeah.
So we went with that one. What about you?
I'm going to pull up my phone just to double check it, but it's a startup, HVAC type company, and we are going to be doing, it's called Hatch Tank, and it's, I guess they're working on a product called Smart Air. And what it says is, their solution is to revolutionize the room-to-room air distribution component of a residential HVAC system in order to significantly reduce HVAC-related energy consumption and increase room-to-room occupancy comfort. And pretty much there was a study done by PG&E where like 40% of energy consumed in a residential home is like in the HVAC system. So if you could reduce that, I guess it could either be environmentally friendly or it's like better like cost-wise. So I think the end goal is to reduce like the amount of energy consumption. And I don't know if they need something built from scratch. I don't think so, since they already have like a working name to it. But it'll be interesting. We have somebody who did an HVAC internship this summer, so that helps. And I mean, I guess we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to figure time to talk to a sponsor, but I think they're headquartered out of San Antonio, so.
Okay, so we're both doing some
something
eco-friendly stuff.
That's cool, yeah. I mean, there are some projects that I really wanted, and that one was not our top choice, but it's really interesting. I think even if it's not going to be applicable to like what I'm doing in the future, I think it's cool to at least tackle something from the ground up and problem solve your way, you know, figure out ideas and the whole engineering design process. So.
Right. Yeah. I feel like this might be my last opportunity to do that. Like, and so it's as real of a engineering job that I'll have, and so it's interesting to see what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
But going into consulting, I'm fairly certain I won't have to design anything.
Yeah.
From there. And so
yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
What are some other things besides school that you like to do? You mentioned you used to run.
Yeah. I play basketball quite a bit. Mm-hmm. At the rec here and there.
Yeah.
Like spending time with like friends, and I think that's something I'm definitely trying to do more of this year.
Yeah.
As our most seniors.
Uh-huh.
And so it works out, right? Everyone wants to spend time with each other.
Yeah.
I think this summer a lot of people stayed in College Station, and I came up a few times and hung out with them, and it was fun, but I kind of had like this, background goal of getting into consulting and getting the job offer with McKinsey, and so I like stayed home more, wanted to focus on that, and so they're all like hanging out, and I'm wishing I could be here hanging out with them, but
yeah.
It's good to be back, spend more time with everyone, and just get along with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's our last year, and so hasn't really kicked in yet.
Yeah.
But once it does, we'll see. We'll see how the feelings start changing.
Yeah. I can tell you right now, as somebody who, this is my second senior year, and I've already experienced all the emotions that come with your normal senior year, that I just wish I spent more time hanging out with people last year. Like, I did plenty of that, but I still wish I did it more. And obviously, going out is fun, and I love going out. It's a lot of fun. But even just, like, the casual stuff, and that's something that I want to do more of. We have a patio in the back. I'll show you. It's super nice, but we have a couple of floorboards that are broken, so I can't really have people over right now. But once that gets fixed, like, it's the perfect area, especially once the weather gets cooler, to, like, maybe have a campfire burning, and then just sit around. We have like Christmas lights strung around the top, so it's a nice vibes atmosphere. But I definitely want to take advantage of having people close by and just doing chill stuff with. Like, obviously in the future, if you go visit somebody, you know, across the state or across the country, like, you know, they're probably going to take you out, go somewhere, have a good time. But like, the things you can do, like, I don't know, watch a Bachelor episode or have like a game night or something. Just, I want to do more of that because it's something that I feel like we weren't able to do a lot of last year. Even, you know, everyone was still close by and it was our senior year. We weren't able to do as much as I liked. So definitely take advantage of it. This is week one. We're still figuring things out. Career fair is next week, so it's kind of hectic. But once all that settles down, then we can get to like the fun stuff.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I feel like with work next year, like, I've only heard it's so demanding. So I can only imagine like what the free time is like once you're there. And so I definitely want to have those like memories where I can look back on and say that I, you know, took most of the time that I had, especially after like quarantining's like very hardly. Yeah. And so I think there's like so many great people that I know and I kind of know, right? And I wish I could get to know them a little bit more, or mm-hmm. you know, just build on that friendship this one last year, because a year is a long time. Like, mm-hmm. especially in college, you could find a way to spend a lot of time with someone mm-hmm. or a group of people, and it goes a long way. Like, these people did it over the summer, right? Like, my friends, mm-hmm. now they're like super close, and I'm like, well, I don't even get half the inside things or jokes that you uh-huh. guys are talking about. Like, I just wasn't there.
Yeah.
And so that's definitely something I want to work on, where it's just like, find those people. Like, I have a couple good friends, but mm-hmm. you know, continue expanding outside of that and saying yes to, you know, even being here today. Yeah. Like, you know, you said that I didn't fit the out of state, but I like wanted to be here, and I'm yeah. excited to have that opportunity where I get to be
spending featured, time,
right?
Yeah.
Featured on the pod, and
there you go.
Able to get the thoughts out there in the world.
Yeah, for sure. Are you going to be in Houston, or at least that's where you're going to be stationed out of in the beginning?
Yeah, in Houston. I know a decent amount of people in Houston already.
Yeah.
But I don't know anyone that's planning on working in Houston after. Most people don't want to stay in Texas, and so
really,
yeah. Or it's like maybe Austin.
Yeah,
Austin is the exception, but I've seen a lot of people, like good friends of mine, are going to California, mm-hmm. and it's definitely gonna hurt, right? Seeing most of these people yeah. go. Like, for me, it was where I had my friends here, and then I could go home to Katy, have more of my friends there.
Yeah.
So I never felt like I always had a good friend somewhere. Mm-hmm. So now I feel like going back to Houston, like, it might be a little bit more tough. A lot more probably FaceTiming and stuff, but mm-hmm. it's interesting to see. Hopefully someone comes with me to Houston.
Yeah, I don't think you'll have trouble finding people, honestly.
Yeah.
But it is something, too, that, like, is kind of scary is that making friends in that next stage of life. Because you're going to keep in touch with your college friends, hopefully, but it's still hard.
Right.
Like, I try to make it a point every 2 weeks I call somebody I haven't. I called one of my friends, Luke, I think last week. And I called him because he's by himself in Philadelphia. I think it's Philadelphia. I know it's in Pennsylvania. But he's working up there by himself. And I don't know. I know personally, like, how lonely it can get, getting adjusted to a new state. And it's hard because you don't see them every day. So it doesn't always cross your mind, hey, I need to call this person. But, I mean, you know me. I can get emotional sometimes. Or really quick, usually. So I like to look back on my if I'm looking at my phone for a long time, and you see me just scrolling up, chances are I'm looking through my photo album and just looking at all the memories in the past. Like, I do that so many times. I, like, know, like, when I see this picture, I know this other picture is nearby because of that. And I'll see, like, a face that I haven't talked to in a while, and I'll just either text him or call him. But, like, that post-grad, like, life and maintaining friends, like, that is, it's going to be tough. But if you can, like, definitely
yeah.
do it.
Yeah, that's another thing, I think. I want to take more pictures. Like, mm-hmm. if you look at my camera roll, it's like school stuff. Or
like, all the homeworks and yeah. tests or whatever.
Yeah, it's not very, like, I mean, I feel like I do go out. I have fun And I could take pictures. I just never think of it. Mm-hmm. And so probably taking more pictures might be a good idea.
Yeah.
And so get on that trend for sure. But, mm-hmm. I mean, realistically, like, I was talking about this. How many people are you actually going to talk to after college? Like,
yeah.
And keep that same relation. Like, it's mm-hmm. it's not very high. Like, that number's not high. And as the years go by, it gets less and less. Like, mm-hmm. just go look back to your high school friends.
Oh, man.
Right? Yeah. Like, there's just people that you don't talk to anymore where I know if you put me in a room with them, it'd probably be, like, kind of rough for, like, 10 minutes. But we'd get back to, like, how we were before. Mm-hmm. But you just don't do it, right? It just doesn't come across. They're doing their life. You're doing yours. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's hard to kind of get put together. But, I mean, if you were to get put together, you could.
Yeah.
And so it's going to happen. Like, people are going to filter. But... Mm-hmm. I feel like if you make a point to become friends with them this year and really show that you're kind of there for them, mm-hmm. I guess they won't forget that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's something that I've had to think about with, like, all my free friends who, like, graduated. And some of them were only people that I would talk to because we're either in the same major, same classes, or we're in the same vicinity. But there's also a good amount, too, that... maybe I will talk to them every year, like once per year, but it'll feel like no time has passed. I don't know. It's really tough to say. Most of them have only been working for a couple of months right now at this point, but I don't know. I personally would hope that the amount of people that, you know, I can at least hold a conversation with and it feels like it's like college is significantly higher than the amount in high school. Because in high school, I talked to... probably like 4 or 5 people at this point.
Really?
From high school. And it's not like consistent communication.
Yeah.
Like, I guess one of them I have a Snapchat streak with. But that's it. The others I don't really keep in touch with, like, every day, every week. And I don't think you need to do that either.
Yeah.
Like, as long as it's like even once every few months, I think it's fine. That's just how, like, adult life is, especially when you don't see everybody at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, like, spot on. And I think you do a better job than me, for sure, at it. Uh-huh. But I feel like no matter what, you kind of always want a little bit more, and so mm-hmm. you're going to continue forward with that. Like, I do a better job than someone else, right?
Yeah.
You do a better job than me, and so... Mm-hmm. But I think it's important. Like, it's always good to have people in your corner.
Yeah.
And so... And it's fun, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, if you're extroverted, like, you like mm-hmm. spending time talking to people, and so... It's always, like, brings kind of energy and joy into your own life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wrapping up really quick, I was just really curious. We talked about SEC, and that's an organization that you and I are both in, and obviously both of us love it a lot. I was curious, when you first got in, was there anybody that you were like, wow, I want to be like that person? Or, wow, if, like, I wish I could be in their shoes, or they're super accomplished, and you just looked up to them?
I think joining right away, Kirsten was my first, like, chair that mm-hmm. I worked under, and so that was, like, my first exposure to, like, whoa, like, she's big time.
Yeah.
And then she ran for, like, VP a couple weeks later after I got in, mm-hmm. and then she got it, and she's just so confident, humble, like, such a well-put-together person, like, I met her parents randomly once in Katy because I had an SEC shirt on. Mm-hmm. And, like, they're like, oh, you're an SEC? I was like, yeah. And they're like, oh, you know, my daughter's an SEC. I was like, oh, nice. Like, cool. And he's like, oh, her name's Kirsten. And I was like, oh, wow. That's an awesome
What an honor.
I know. Meeting Kirsten Potter's parents. But, yeah, I think she was super cool. I think after consulting came around, or I figured out about consulting, and that's also when James got in, James Kirkland.
Yeah.
Him a lot. James Swanson.
Yeah.
We worked career fair together. He was, like, the chair.
Yeah.
I was working coordinator, and so that was good to have him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a good, like, father figure kind of
guy.
And so that was awesome. And then I think Sherratt was, like, another brown dude. And then it was like, there's not that many when I joined. And it was like, when I joined, it was me, him, and Arjun. And Arjun left very quickly. Yeah. Like, he left in the year, and so Sherratt was always there. So I was like,
a connection, yeah, right, yeah.
You need that brown boy connection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
Oh, man. I mean, even though Kirsten and I were the same grade, it was Kirsten for me. thought super highly of her. I always really liked Reed. I don't know if you did you ever get to meet Reed?
Yeah.
Yeah. Loved Reed. I'd applied for like two or three things in the fall, like applications like due literally 3 or 4 days apart from each other, and it was like three separate ones. And I got rejected from all of them. And I was, you know, I either got a rejection call or a rejection email, and I was just like, man, like, I'm not going to quit, but, like, it sucks.
Yeah.
And I got a call from Reed, and I was like, I mean, I can't ignore the president, right?
Right.
So I answered it, and he was super kind. He said, hey, I saw you went out for these three things, and you didn't get them. I just want to let you know, like, you know, keep doing it or whatever, like, don't think that we're just discarding you or like we're ignoring you. He made me feel like seen, which was really cool. He's such a, like, a humble, selfless person, super nice, super friendly. And I was like, dang, like, that's the type of leader like I want to be, like, under, like, who's leading me, you know, someone who will reach out not just to the people who are like thriving in the org or thriving at their job, but people who are like struggling to find their place too. So Reed was a great person that I looked up to a lot.
Yeah, and that brings up a good point too, right? Like, good leadership, but also, like, from your perspective, like, failing. I think that's, like, one thing that, you know, it sucks to fail. Right? No one likes to fail. Uh-huh. But it's, you learn so much from it in retrospect. And, like, it's really the people that get past those adversities of failure and come back and do something, like, they've got a chip on their shoulder and they're willing to put in that work. And just the mental strength you get from that is crazy. And yeah. So I'm glad the amount of times I've failed. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's made me always push on. And sometimes I wish I'd maybe failed a little bit more in the past. Mm-hmm. But I definitely did fail at a lot of things. I didn't get corporate the first time I went out, mm-hmm. But got it the second time. I didn't get consulting the first time. I got it the second time. And mm-hmm. So kind of shows that, like, there's always hope if you put in the right effort, put in the right resources. And if anything, you went from, like, a maybe okay candidate to, like, he should get in, but not sure, to this guy definitely deserves this, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, each and every time, you kind of gain a lot from those experiences.
Yeah.
So, like, look at you now, right? E-Week chair. I'm actually in your committee now.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
Oh, like, my gosh.
I, like, wasn't in a committee, and Ryan's like, hey, you're not in a committee because I did corporate.
Yeah.
And I was like, like, who are the chairs that I know? And I didn't know that many chairs. And I was like, oh, Victor, E-Week. And so I was like, oh, we'll just do E-Week because I knew Victor.
Yeah.
But
dang. Yeah, we got a lot of fun stuff. Actually, it's funny, man. I'll just tell you now. First of all, I'm really interested to see who, like, comes into our committee, because Emma and I have a goal of being the best committee. And not just, like, the best. Like, we're just saying that and you can't really back it up.
Yeah.
We definitely plan on using our social budget. Yeah. And, like, getting close with our members. And I definitely want to have, like, hangouts here, like, movie nights, maybe, like, a craft night or something. And just hanging out and getting to know people. Yeah. And not just every time we meet up, it has to be, like, business mode or we're working. Which, you know, there are times for that. But it's also good to, like, build cohesion.
Right.
And then we have big plans for E-Week. I'll tell you, like, off record later, but it's pretty big ideas, and I don't know if some of them will get, like, either approved or actually happen, because they might be out of our budget, but we have big plans, so I'm excited to have you on this journey.
I know, right? I feel like you made it better, right? Made me feel better about my decision. I was literally at the gym, and I was like, Ryan texted me, like, bro, I need this ASAP. And
yeah.
I was like, okay, like, I guess I'll figure it out, and mm-hmm. I, like, scrolled through the website, and I was like, yo, what the... The only person I know, like, decently well is Victor. And so I was like, all right, let's do E-Week.
There you go.
And, I mean, I did EngDev and all of that. And mm-hmm. So I was just like...
Just something different.
Something different, right? There I was always in development.
Mm-hmm.
But I like helping around. I'm helping... I think I'm helping ProTrip do, mm-hmm. like, a company for mm-hmm. where we're going.
Okay.
And so hopefully that works out.
Yeah.
And then I think... So my idea, we still haven't done it yet. I wanted to do a professional development panel. I told Peter, I don't know if you remember his presentation, but it mm-hmm. was like each industry should have two people that are like juniors or seniors that are well accomplished that should like serve as a go-to person. And so mm-hmm. for oil and gas, people that worked at like a big time oil and gas company,
mm-hmm.
For consulting, for banking, mm-hmm. for what else is there? Chemicals, whatever you're interested in, instead of like you having to go look for someone, mm-hmm. you know, you have one go-to person that can connect you, right? Like we've been in the council for so long, like,
yeah, we know pretty much where everyone lies.
Yeah, where everyone is, what they're doing, and mm-hmm. and like, there's definitely like a gap. If you look at it now, mm-hmm. like the people that got in during COVID versus the people that were in it before.
Uh-huh.
Like you can, like when we went into that meeting on Monday, I was going around and I was like, man, I haven't seen these faces in forever. And then there was those people that are like kind of sitting off to the corner, like, where am I? Like, who are these people? Yeah. Like, I've only seen them on a screen and stuff. And so I think it's really cool to have that. And I will now touch base with Peter after Career Fair is over to get it implemented.
There you go. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Before we leave, I wanted you to do a voice message to yourself. So something that I enjoy doing and I started having people do is I like to not only journal, so this is where I keep all my inner thoughts, shout out Eaton, but sometimes I like just talking to my mic and then uploading it onto Anchor as a draft so only I can listen to it. And actually, I did this multiple times this summer just because like I had nothing else to do. And on my last day before I left to travel back to Texas, I was cleaning up my environment or where I was living, and I just had all of my journals from the summer playing. And I say journal, it's like audio journal. So I just click play and listen to myself talk about, you know, maybe it was a girl over the summer, or maybe it was I felt super lonely this summer, or maybe, you know, just listening to me actually talk about it. So I will go first so you see how it's done.
Okay.
And I'll be talking to future Manav as well.
Okay.
And so feel free to talk about whatever whenever I'm done. All right. Well, hello, future Manav. First of all, where are you? Are you in Texas? Are you in New York? Are you in Africa? Where are you? Wherever it is, I probably want to know because I feel like you're going to be going to cool places the next few years. I still don't even remember how we met, but I do know that every time I see you, I'm like, I don't know, I'm just like, I'm happy. I see Manav and I'm like, there's that boy Manav. Actually, I guess this is for future Manav and present Manav. In the fall, I would or in the spring, I would call Greg while we were having our meetings and just to show him, you know, because he graduated and he wasn't part of our meetings anymore. And he'd always be like, hey, hold up, wait, like, go back. And I'd go back a screen and he'd be like, there's that guy Manav. Or like, why is Manav looking like that right now? You always make me laugh and smile every time I'm around you. Obviously, you're a very hard worker and I really admire that about you. I really like the way you carry yourself. And I just hope that, you know, wherever you are in the future, that, you know, you keep that same energy up. You keep being that awesome person that people like being around. And just know that no matter how much time has passed by, like, you always have, like, me to come to. I know you said you might not be as good as me when it comes to reaching out to people. But the fact that you're even on this podcast should tell you that, like, you and I could not talk for, like, 3 years. But then if you were to come back to me after, like, 3.5 years or whatever, I think we'd be just fine picking up where we left off. And I hope that, you know, you remember that. Hope that work isn't getting too stressful. You know, whatever you're doing, I hope, you know, if you decide on getting an MBA or getting, God forbid, a master's in engineering or something, hope that that goes well. I know that we both talked about that beforehand, and I think especially in the future, it'd be very interesting to see how that ends up. That's one of the beauties of saying this right now is, you know, in 4 or 5 years, who knows, maybe we would have completely pivoted and changed courses and not even considered an MBA. We maybe considered something else better for our situation. But I guess that shows you that, you know, life changes a lot and, you know, change is always, it doesn't have to be a bad thing. Like you said, you talked about getting rejected from different things, different positions. I know I've talked about it as well. We both had our fair share of like failures, and just know that whatever you're going through, if it's a rough batch of time, that it'll pass as long as you remain resilient and you just, you know, keep staying true to who you are. Don't try to take any shortcuts. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Sorry, that's kind of just word regurgitation, but it's your turn now.
Okay. Hey man, hope it's going good. I mean, a couple years out, working with McKinsey, hopefully still, but you never know. Maybe found something more fun, more exciting. Hope you're taking the other aspects of life more seriously and enjoying those as well. I think work is always there to stay. And so, you know, friends, family, that's always something that can keep you, you know, humbled on the ground and excited for to wake up the next day, the next week, and just have fun with life. And so I urge you to take a vacation if you haven't in a while. Explore the world. You know, go out with a friend. Touch base with anyone that you haven't. Victor, if I am hearing this in 3 years, I will call you.
Perfect.
And hopefully, I'll probably just fly to you, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see where both of us are at.
I know, right? We'll just meet up somewhere. And so, yeah, just enjoy the little things. I guess that's huge. You know, you never really do it. And so, you know, work is always there. You got a 50-year career ahead of you. Mm. And so take it slow. Maybe take some time. Go get the MBA if you need to. But yeah, just have fun with it. You know, make sure you're not overstressing, and surround yourself with good people. And, you know, that's just the way to live life. And so hopefully I'm more inner zen later on. But I feel like if I live to that, then it'll be a good time.
I like it. Well, thank you so much again for being on this. I know I kind of called you on a whim. Not really. I wanted to hit all the people who would like that message and reacted to it. And when you reacted to it, I remember like going on your LinkedIn and saying, was he out of state? I don't remember that. But I figured, I was like, why not? I know Taylor's busy with career fair stuff right now.
Yeah.
And I just assume Cindy's being busy with like internal relations stuff or whatever. But I'll hit them next, but I wanted to get to you.
Yeah.
So
Taylor would be a cool one. I would be interested to hear about her South Africa journey.
We got
to
get her after next week and a half.
They're working like crazy. They're
working hard. I think it's kind of funny too, because I was talking to them. 99% of them have not seen an in-person fair.
Really? Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just Peter.
Because they had like, they either didn't go to their career fair like freshman year in the spring or fall.
Oh, you know? You're talking about the coordinators.
Coordinators and Taylor, too.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I think it's so cool, though, that they're working towards something they've never seen in person and then finally get to see it all unfold like the first time.
Yeah.
And then, like, for me, like, I've seen a career fair happen in Kyle Field, like, a couple of times. But for them, it's like they created something beautiful.
Yeah.
Career fair is beautiful.
It is.
It really is.
I want to go, and, like, the time that works for me is late when it closes down and they're doing the cleanup. But I think, you know, I was thinking to myself, last time to see a fall career fair, and fall is different than spring.
Oh yeah,
fall is a different energy, like people are on their game.
Uh-huh.
So I might just force myself to wake up early, drive over, and just observe and stand there. Like it's crazy. Like I'd probably just be with a drink cart and I just want to watch someone pitch their resume or like it's just fun to see it. Like, people are there.
Meeting people.
Yeah, like, it's a different energy. And you don't get to see it. Probably the last time I'll ever see that. Like, what are the chances you go to a career fair?
Bro, that's sad. Don't say that.
Like, there are career fairs for older people, but
it's different when it's college students.
Yeah, like, this is your first job, first internship. You might see some, like, freshmen trying to pitch their resume. Something like that. It's fun to see. Uh-huh. So, I think... All right, I'll do it now.
No, you have to go.
I'll do it.
I mean, even if I accepted like a full-time job offer, I would probably still go. I don't know. Like, I'd probably talk. I'd talk to a company for sure, because that doesn't mean I'm applying to them. I'm just talking to them.
Yeah.
But I just love meeting people. And I think it'd be so cool because, I don't know, it's fun to meet people. Yeah. That's the only reason why, honestly.
Yeah. No, the career fair energy vibe is off the charts. And so... I'll just wake up and go, maybe skip a class, but let me just sit
there. You have to volunteer anyways, right?
Yeah, I didn't really sign up for that. I got a text yesterday. He's like, you need to sign up.
Oh, man.
I mean, Ryan's in charge of points.
Oh, okay.
So I got Ryan on my side. But, I mean, if I'm going, I'll work it. So I might end up working more than four.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited, man. It's going to be fun.
It's fun, yeah.
So next week. All right, I'll tune in. I'll come in for more than 4 hours.
Yeah, I'll be there all day Wednesday.
Oh, right. You're working EC.
But okay. I don't know if I have to wear my, like, EC polo.
I think you do.
Oh, I just wanted to wear the GC polo.
No, I think it's EC. It's definitely the white one.
Oh, it's going to be so hot. And then I have to walk back to Zach.
Oh, you're walking?
Well, because I park in polo.
Why don't you just park in lot 100 that day?
Can I?
I think so.
I guess.
Dude, I'm going to pay to park.
Huh?
I'm going to pay.
In 62 or whatever?
Yeah.
Bless your heart.
What is it, like $2?
Is it? I don't know. I've never parked to pay before. I've either gotten a ticket or just parked
where I was supposed to. What's the ticket, $20?
$35.
Yeah, I'll probably spend less if I buy it.
Yeah, definitely. We'll see, but that's that. We will catch you guys on our next episode. Thank you for listening.